Hey everyone, welcome to another week of Those Girls Podcast. My name's Mary.
And I'm Rachel.
So, I don't know if you've seen this or if anybody listening has seen this, but there's this company called Tend, T-E-N-D. It's a dentist and they have a different locations. There's like some in New York and DC, and I think they're opening a Boston and an Atlanta one, but it's a very Instagrammable, like a aesthetically pleasing modern dentist practice. And okay. I kept getting these ads for them. And I was just like scrolling through, like not really paying attention. And then I finally just like, I don't know, the ads were popping up so much that I was like, whatever, I'll watch the entire ad. Yeah. And honestly, it just seemed so different that I was like, you know, I need to go to the dentist. I haven't been to the dentist for a cleaning since pre-COVID. It's been like 2 years, honestly.
Oh gosh, Mary.
I know, it's really bad. I hate
anyone listening to this has not been to the dentist, this is your reminder. Book that appointment right now. Stop listening to our podcast and go book that dental appointment. It's because you bad. Need to go every six.
Yeah, I know. I was supposed to be going, and then I would cancel it all the time. I get such bad anxiety at the dentist. I'm also there. I am a nightmare to them. It's like a two-way, it's a very like toxic relationship, to be honest. Like
what do you get stressed out about though? Like what's your thing that you get nervous about?
It's not like a fear. It's not that I'm afraid of anything. The sensation, like the vibrating sensation on my teeth gives me full body chills. I don't know. I'm just really sensitive to that kind of stuff.
Okay. I can understand that.
And whenever they do it, I immediately cry. Like it's painful.
You cry?
It's painful to me. That and the feeling of numbness, I find painful. And I know technically it's not painful because I've had so many people explain this to me. They're like, well, you can't actually feel pain. It's numb. And I'm like, okay, fine. Not painful. How about just extremely uncomfortable? Like it's severe discomfort. And I like to describe that as painful because that's how it feels to me.
I can understand that. I feel very uncomfortable when I'm numb. I don't like being numb.
I don't like it at all. Oh God. I just hate everything about the dentist. Like
what do they do when you're crying in the chair?
Well, I tell them get away from me. And then they'll be like, well, okay, we'll give you a minute. And then I'll try to take a few breaths. And then I'll say, okay, like I need to get my teeth cleaned. It's going to be fine. Like I need to do it. So it's going to be fine. And then it just happens all over again. And so the one time that they finally got through cleaning, they ended up giving me laughing gas to get me through it. It was a whole
laughing gas to get your teeth cleaned.
Yeah, no, it's like very severe. It's also funny because this was only developed in the last 5 years for me. Like this never used to be an issue. I would go, like I got a root canal done like 10 years ago. What? No big deal. I've gotten cavities filled. Like I didn't like it. I was never comfortable with it, but I'd be able to get through the process. And I don't really know why, but at some point in the last 5 years, I just felt like one day I went to the dentist and my body just shut down. I was so uncomfortable. I just like needed to get out of there. It was awful. I was having like almost a panic attack in the chair, couldn't handle it. And so, yeah, I'm like blacklisted at my dentist. I mean, they obviously let me come in to make appointments, but they kind of just know that I'm going to end up leaving and I'm not going to actually get through an entire cleaning. So I'm going to go to a new dentist this week.
I mean, I feel like, have you called them and told them that you have this major dental anxiety?
No, just because I'm going to try to talk myself through it / the environment feeling a little bit more calm and spa-like will already be a better thing. And plus, I also haven't been to the dentist in over 2 years. So I'm also wondering how bad it's going to be for me. I'm hoping that by trying also a new dentist and a different environment, that maybe it'll be better. I don't know. I'll keep you posted. I'm a little bit stressed out about it just because I don't want to cause a scene. It's not really cute when you're like 25 years old and causing a scene at the dentist and like crying like a toddler.
Yeah. I feel like it's definitely going to have to be something that you overcome eventually.
So I am going to the dentist this week. I'm going to talk myself through it. I think it's going to be great. I will give you, I'll report back with an honest review though on this new Instagram aesthetic, like modern dentist. And I'm also hoping that they take my insurance. So
yeah, keep us posted on the vibes.
This episode, we're going to be talking about toxic friendships. I also wish there was another word instead of toxic because I kind of hate that word now. It's just so overused, but like maybe unhealthy friendships.
I feel like toxic is overused, but I feel like there's like not a nice way to say it.
Yeah. There's no real nice, kind way to describe this, but it's important to note though, you are real friends. I think that's the issue. It's different than just an unhealthy person that's in your life that you don't like. Like this person, you actually really do like a lot of things about them. Like there's reasons that you guys built a friendship and have a friendship. However, maybe their downfalls, like we all have them, but maybe their downfalls specifically, just they can become unhealthy, or they can just make you feel bad.
Yes, there's like a solid starting point where you guys became friends and there's a reason that you guys became friends. You bonded over something specific. Maybe there's something you really value that's like wonderful and, you know, or maybe you feel like you really connected with this person. But then you kind of kept going down the road of friendship and you realize this is fool's gold. This is not, this friendship is not what I thought it was.
I feel like, don't you agree that toxic friendships are usually just the friends in your life where everything is drama? Everything is like chaos. That's a better word. It's like chaos, super chaotic. Yes. Energy.
I would say chaotic friendships.
Yeah.
Okay. I would 100% agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to shift this. This episode is now chaotic friendships.
It is toxic. Let's be clear. It is toxic, like, to have chaotic friendships, I think, but yeah. Some people don't. Some people love having chaotic friendships, but like if there's a girl in your life where there's always, or a guy, we don't discriminate, where there's like always drama happening
and they like, and they suck you into it. That's the hard part. I feel like you're somehow sucked into this vortex.
They're drawing you in, like every time you're around them or every time you come around their sphere, like the closer you get to them, the more drama and more chaos your life becomes.
Yes.
Like that is the friendship we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think everyone probably has someone in their life that they're thinking about. Like right now, there are people coming to my mind, and there's also people coming to my mind for some of my friends that I'm like, this is who this person's is. Like, because everyone just has their people. And if you're wondering right now, am I that person? You probably are.
Is it me? Am I the drama?
Am I the drama?
Am I the drama? Is it me? Am I the villain? No, I'm not the villain.
But you maybe need to just self-reflect and wonder, like, why is there always chaos happening in your life?
The actual real toxic friendships are the people that you kind of keep your distance from because they seem to have problems with everyone.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's almost this thing where you need to phase out of having chaos in your life. Like, it's one thing to be like really chaotic when you're kind of younger and be crazy, but then it's almost like, how does that transform into your life? Like when you're 20s and 30s, it's like if someone cannot keep a stable friendship in their life for like a long period of time, either is like really, really flaky and they're really hard to pin down, or they're really like go too deep with you too quickly. Like all of a sudden, you've known them for 2 seconds and they want to be your best friend and know everything about you. And they want to like be there, you know, during your deepest, darkest, hardest time. Like both sides of that spectrum feel like really unsteady to me and really like chaotic.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the ones that kind of latch onto you, they come out of nowhere and all of a sudden that person is like, oh my God, we're best friends. But they like actually believe that. And then they just like don't leave. And it's like their mission is to become your actual best friend. Because I've always thought it's such a red flag when somebody has like issues with people, like multiple people, and it does, and they don't seem to know why. Like that's always been such a weird thing to me where they're like, oh my God, yeah, like me and that girl hate each other. Or like, oh no, I can't be there because this person's going to be there. And like, we used to be best friends and now we're not. Because that's like not, I don't think a normal thing to just have like so many ex best friends or like ex friendships for that you have beef with.
I don't want to say that you can't phase out of friendships. Like you totally can grow out of friendships. Like sometimes friendships are just for a season and that's great. But like, I do think that if you're doing that so much, like you said, if you're someone who has like multiple ex best friends,
yeah.
Like it, you might be the problem. Like, I'm not saying that you definitely are. Like you might have had just a really bad run of friendships. And if that's true, I'm like really sorry for you. And I hope that you find better friends. But like most of the time when I meet a lot of people who like have had a lot of ex best friends, I am like,
red flag.
I steer clear. I am like, clear the way, because I need 500 feet of distance between you and me at all times.
I feel like the other types of friends though, that are toxic friendships in general, it wasn't just that they are chaotic, but they like make you feel bad. Like they put you down in kind of weird ways. They're like competitive.
They bring out like an insecurity in you that you don't really feel like when you're around like your other friends or when you're around other people. But like when I'm around them, I feel uncomfortable just being myself because I feel like they're going to put me down if I like say something weird or like if I do something like a little bit out of the ordinary, then I feel like they're going to make fun of me or like I'm going to be embarrassed around them. It sounds so like cliche to be like, you know, beware of people that like drain your energy. Like I feel like I see like quotes like that all the time around Instagram. That is like the definition of someone that is chaotic. I also think there's kind of comes this point where it's like, you just care about your life more. Like, I know that's kind of sounds weird, but like you care about your quality of life more and you care about your time a lot more. And so I feel like I would rather sit alone on my couch and watch Real Housewives than grab a glass of wine with someone that is like kind of a person that I don't really feel like I can trust. Like just to be able to say like, oh, I did something on this Tuesday night. You kind of grow up and you feel more secure in like who you are. And you don't feel this need to surround yourself with a bunch of kind of people that you just are like, I don't really feel great about you. I don't really feel great about who you are. And so would rather hang out with either myself or literally I would rather hang out with the same five people over and over again. And that, you know, be who it is.
Well, it's so funny though, because I mean, there's people that I can think of that come to mind when we're talking about this, but there are some of my friends that are friends with those people. Like that's what's always to me is very tough about the whole toxic friendship thing, because some of like my close friends, for example, who I love and trust and we're close friends, they are friends with individuals who I would label as chaotic, toxic, not trustworthy people. But it's always really difficult for me when I see some of my friends like, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, are you guys like, how close is this friendship? Is this just like a social media thing? But then sometimes I'm like, maybe this actually does go deeper and I'm not going to say anything because like you're clearly friends with them and I'm not going to like trash your friend. But I am kind of confused as to how we can be friends and like feel so differently about somebody.
Whenever I see my really close friends being friends with someone that I feel is like a major red flag, I always stop and pause and I will ask my friends, like, how do you feel about this person? Like, what are your thoughts? You know, what's been your experience? Like, I'll almost do like a rate and review. And I think I could do better about this, but also no. I've been to enough therapy in my life that I feel good about this. Is where I, if I really have like such a gut feeling about someone where I'm like, I just will never be able to trust them. Like,
I knew you were going to say this.
Unfortunately, like it's just never going to happen for us. Like, I really am so sorry. But like, if I, my gut has continued to prove me right time and time again. And I have learned that like, if I have a feeling about someone, I am not going to talk trash about them. I'm not going to say things to other people about them. I'm going to mind my business and I'm going to be kind to them, but like, I will not ever be best friends with them. And that's okay. That's my prerogative. Like, yeah. But no,
there's nothing wrong with that. But I do, but you are very, I don't know what the right word is. You're very selective with your friendships.
100%.
Like, extremely selective with your friendships. And like to the point, like I remember, I forget who said this to me. Several people have said this to me, but when we first became friends, the amount of people that would like come up to me and be like, you and Rachel Walker are friends. Like that like doesn't really make sense to me. Like, I just don't get it.
That to many people.
Yeah. It was like this weird badge of honor where I was like, oh, Rachel Wagner, sorry, Walker Wagner.
It was Walker at the time.
Yeah. It was like, oh, I've been chosen. I am a chosen one.
Yeah. And I think like, I don't even say that because of this like thing where it's like, I feel like I'm better than everyone else. Like it's really has nothing to do with that. It really is just this thing where like,
you do a vibe check. Like you do a vibe check. You take inventory. And even though that's maybe not always correct, you can't make yourself feel comfortable if you're getting a bad feeling, or if you're like, you know, I just don't really like you and I just don't really think you're that funny and you kind of annoy me for whatever reason, then like, whatever. I feel that way about certain people.
I think it's for me, I think trust is like, I put trust at like the top of my list when it comes to like people that I vibe with, and like trust and loyalty. Those are like my two like biggest things, which sounds like so, I think it sounds like so silly to be like, I want you to be loyal to me. Like, I don't want you to be loyal to me. You're not my army, but like, I value that a lot. And it really matters to me. And I feel like if I just don't feel like you are going to give either one of those to me, then I will be so nice to you. We can be surface level friends until the day we die. We can go to dinner together. We can go get coffee, but I'm telling you, there is a place that we will never break through. And I am perfectly okay with that.
I think I definitely have the opposite problem where I will give people too many chances. Like, I feel like there's been a couple times where you've asked me about certain people and I've been like, yeah, no, they're so funny. Like, yeah, they're so fun. And you're like, yeah, I'm sure they are, but okay.
But like to me, I'm like, there's a lot of funny people in the world. Like everyone's like, a lot of people are funny, but like, I need someone to do more than make me laugh. Like, you know, like
I get it. Yeah.
For the both of us. I don't need someone that's funny. Like,
it's also really, really weird to even make friends as an adult. We were literally talking about this a few weeks ago.
Yeah. It's really, I think it's really hard to make friends as an adult. I'll like see someone or like meet someone or hang out with someone in a group that I like. I'm like, okay, you know, obviously you guys know I just moved back to our hometown. And there's definitely people that I'm like, okay, I feel like I can trust this person. Like they give me good vibes, but like, it's kind of weird to just like make new friends and be like, do you guys want to go out to dinner? Like, okay. Like, do you want to go out to dinner again? You know, like, do you want me to start sending you memes on the internet? It's just so weird to like start that and like literally start a friendship with someone out of thin air. I think is so freaking awkward.
Yeah, no, it's really uncomfortable, but I mean, I've done it and people have done it to me. Where I live, because it's such a huge city, people are so open to meeting new people and making new friends. Like, I've met so many new people and it's not weird to like DM somebody on Instagram, be like, let's get coffee. Like, let's be friends. Let's, you know, hang out. But I think that's unique to living in a really big city. The thing is, I'm very open to new friendships. If somebody is out there listening right now and you're like, you know, Mary on Those Girls podcast just seems like such a cool girl, and I think we would totally vibe. My DMs are open. If you just like want to be my friend, I'm dead serious.
I, however, am like, literally, please do not like,
yeah, for Rachel, it may be different. Yeah. For Rachel, it could be a little different. She's not as welcoming.
Not as willing. Daniel literally will be anyone's friend. And it's like the thing that I am terrified of the most. He just kind of is very open with like anyone who, you know, wants to know him, and he's very welcoming in that way. And I do really respect that and love that about him, but I watch him do that, and it makes me like naturally want to die inside.
Well, I think with friendships, especially, you're naturally, I think your default is to be more cynical. And I don't want to make it sound like you see the worst in people, but I think you're just a lot more aware of this could go wrong. What's really the vibe here? Like, you don't just automatically trust people like that. And I think Daniel looks at the world like, people are kind and good, and you should trust them until they give you no reason to.
Yeah.
And so in friendships, Daniel's like, this is me. This is who I am. Let's get to know each other. Let's get vulnerable so we can like form a real friendship. And you're like, here is test one, test two, test three.
If you can't pass, I'm sorry, you will be canceled forever. Like it's literally an immediate no. And I think you're absolutely right. Like I do see the world that way. It truly like is such a core difference of us, and we see it like every day and play out in a million different ways. And I think that's why like I kind of thought I would stop making friends. And then you and I became friends. And one of the reasons that I really liked you immediately and I knew we would be friends is because you were just really real with me. You weren't trying to like be someone you weren't. And so I was like, oh, I can trust her because she's like not being fake. And I think that's what it is I feel like a lot of people are just really, really fake. I have such a like thermometer for if someone is being fake with me, and I like literally the minute I sense it, I'm like, we're done.
I think we view the world pretty similarly. I think I'm probably in between you and Daniel, honestly.
I feel like you see people, like you have a radar for people a lot faster, like the way that I kind of do, where you kind of cut through it a lot more quickly. But I do think that I think where you and I differ is you give people a bit more of a chance.
Yeah.
Which is honestly, I could work on it.
Okay, guys, Those Girls moment of the week. We haven't done this in a minute.
Okay, so my Those Girls moment of the week. So I really tried to take pretty good care of my nails by going to the nail salon like once a month. And I know you're supposed to go like every 2 weeks, but I go once a month because that's just what I do. And I was like, the whole time I was like, I'm going to get this like neutral, like almost kind of like funny bunny, like white color, but I was thinking a little bit more icy, but still neutral. Like I had it perfectly in my head. Then I got there and I was like, I'm going to go mint. I had like a really long day at work. I was really tired and I was like, you know, I'm going to do something fun. And I was like, so I picked out my mint color, and he was like, oh, we don't have like a color to match this. And he was like, this isn't a gel color. And I was like, okay. So there was like some drama of him finding it. So he like finally finds it. It's like the exact color I picked out. And I was like, maybe I should go back to my like original color. And I was like, no, you know, this is the color I want. I want this mint. So he starts like putting it on. And that's when I start like immediately like regretting. Rachel, like, what have you done?
Yeah.
You have made a vow to yourself, no more bright colors. You are going to stick to neutrals because you don't get sick of neutrals, and you just like looking at your nails when they're in neutral colors. And so he is just painting away. And usually, you know, sometimes like, I feel like they will ask you like, do you like it?
And he did not ask, because also it was like 7 o'clock and they close at 7 o'clock. So he was like really trying to get through my nails.
Yeah.
And he was just zooming away. He's like through halfway through my first hand and I'm sitting here, or he's halfway through my whole like set. Like he's already done one hand and I'm sitting here like, oh my God, I cannot get mint. Like this is, I literally got this color when I was like in college and I was like, we were like all painting each other's nails. And like, I thought that was like so cute and so cool. Like, this is so like, this is like the color that like a 19-year-old gets. And I know we have 19-year-olds that listen to this podcast. There's nothing against 19-year-olds, but I am 28 years old. Like, I feel like it looks like kind of childish, like not childish, but it looks like silly for me to be out here with like these mint nails. Like, who am I trying to be? Like, who am I trying to fool? Like, I'm thinking all of this in my head. And he's still just putting more mint on my fingers. And
but you thought this like the second that he started, right?
Oh, the second that he started. Yeah. The second he opened the mint nail polish, I could have stopped it. Did I say, hey, you know what? Could you give me 1 minute? And like, I could have even said, hey, actually, I just want to get funny bunny. I could have said that. And that would have been easier because then I wouldn't have had to go find the other, you know, I could have just scrapped my original plan of like my icy neutral white, like that I was wanting, because I couldn't remember that color, that OPI color. And I know funny bunny. I know I like funny bunny. I know it's a good neutral. I could have just said like, I just want funny bunny, but did I? No.
Yeah.
And I'm
a mistake.
I am thinking the whole time as he is just putting more and more mint. It felt like he put 18 coats of mint on my nails to cement how minty my nails were going to be. Hey, you don't have funny bunny on your nails. You have mint, and you are going to be a mint girl this Christmas.
But you paid for a full set, and you know what? It's going to cost you more money to go back and get it taken off.
Oh, and let me tell you what, I'm not doing that, honey. These are my nails for the foreseeable future. So if you see me rolling around town with some mint green nails, you just better not say a damn word to me. Every girl has been in a nail salon and just not spoken up because you're too afraid for some reason. Every bit of my ability to advocate for myself goes out the window. So anyways, here we are. And that's me with my mint green nails. That was my those girls moment of the week.
Wow. That's a rough one. Sorry to hear.
What can you do?
Okay, guys, thanks for listening to another episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys aren't following us on Instagram, follow us on Instagram at Those Girls Podcast. Definitely rate, review us, Apple Podcasts.
Do all the things. We love you guys so much and we will talk to you guys next week.
Have a great week.